Well, good evening once again. Merry Christmas. I think now it feels like Christmas. And truly, there's no better way to step into the Christmas season than to worship, and to worship with you. Have you ever paused to consider why we celebrate light at the peak of earthly darkness? Winter solstice. When the earth is on axis tilted furthest from the sun and our days yield the minimum amount of light. We walk in darkness most of our hours. Might it be, in God's good providence, a metaphor of our condition? Do you see the darkness around you? Are you awake enough to pay attention? Genocide, infanticide, sex slaves and trafficking, witchcraft and satanic rituals celebrated on TV. Angry fathers, despondent mothers, neglected children for whom alcohol and drugs and Netflix are the remedy. Suicide, all-time high. Divide the population by skin color and fear. Take them away from each other's touch and hide their face. Give them a device to replace the touch of life they need. Teach the children, 1 + 1 = whatever you want. Just don't bother me. Here's an iPad. Now you're free to do whatever the internet tells you. But I won't impose on you my beliefs. I want you to choose your own destiny. Let the World Wide Web disciple you. Heaven forbid a parent be responsible. We deny the truth. We abdicate responsibility. Such has been since the forbidden fruit with Adam and Eve, when darkness took root in the soul of man. From that point forth, death has marched upon us. But it was not always so. Why do we speak of light when we dwell in such darkness? Because there is hope. For Jesus has claimed, "I am the light of the world." What might that mean? How do we know? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Let the record show the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Darkness personified, a formless, lifeless deep. The Spirit of God hovered over in superior position, his gaze fixed to stare down darkness face to face. He sized up his foe and he opened his mouth to speak, "Let there be light." God confronted the lifeless dark. Pierced by the sword of his tongue, the veil of night was torn asunder. Light broke through, divided his enemy, and took dominion. One could hear in stereo surround the symphony of heaven rejoicing, praising him for the color spectrum strewn across the expanse. The night had been broken, and morning burst through. The first day dawned. In this light was birthed all creation. The waters of death were separated. The expanse of the heavenlies delineated, refracting pigment and hue as he stretched out the canvas of the sky. The second evening and morning was, and on the third, land and sea were partitioned, furnishing form and preparing habitation for an even greater creation. The hand of the Lord was set to carve the earth, incising mountains and valleys, continents and shores from clay spun upon his wheel. And God beheld his work and saw that it was good. Rejoicing, he painted with colorful vegetation, calling forth plants and bearing fruit and seed at inception, all according to its kind. And there was evening and morning in the third day of a creation divine. But not till the fourth do we behold lights in the sky. Sun, moon, and stars, they were hung like ornaments on a tree, which we don't have any. Carefully arranged in the celestial canvas as decor, but they were not the light of the world. Light pre-existed. And these were just reflections of his brilliance. For light's origination had one source, God alone. Thus, the burning lights in the cosmos claim not preeminence over darkness nor source of light and life. This light emanates from God. In his light, all creatures have life. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let them have dominion over creatures in land, sea, and sky. So God scooped from cosmic clay he had spun. He formed man by his hand, and he breathed life into his lungs. He took from Adam's rib, flesh and bone, and returned a woman to his side. He put them in a garden, his hand-crafted image bears, to reign over the earth. But the reign was to be under his domain as they rejoiced in his light. Well, that lasted a day, maybe two. Genesis 3 transcribes the darkness this light had come to face. Man, after creation, denied the Creator's law, for we see a serpent enter the garden, the deceiver, who sought to upend authority. He deceived Eve by his questions and belittled God's benevolence. Did God really say, he sneered, the fruit, a delight to the eyes, to be desired to make one wise, she ate and gave to Adam, and a shroud of pride covered them. They had become blind. Blind to the light that graciously gave them life. Their eyes could not see, their minds became dark. They know not at what they stumble. And this curse is carried from man to earth, and all creation groans. It has been a dark, dreary sludge henceforth. Pride, greed, lust, and lies, blame shift, envy, murder, oppression, the darkness of the void has entered the heart of each of us. Each generation compiled a new rendition of sin and death. This was a darkness to be felt. Cold and bleak. Though the sun shine on man, there was no cure for the life that they seek until him. See, Jesus proclaimed, I am the light of the world. What a grandiose presumption to proclaim preeminence, preexistence over the cosmic light. He claimed not to be the sun. The sun was not his symbol. His statement was not an analogy nor metaphor, but it was simple, I am. The words of Yahweh, self-existent, God eternal, he is the light of the world. If he is the light, how did he arrive so unnoticed? What did he come to do? How then do we see him in the dark? His arrival was not unnoticed, just hidden. and revealed to the simple. Shepherds in a field tending the flocks of Bethlehem. He was born in a lamb's stall, a manger. What a divine revealing of his glory. He has hidden these things from the wise and revealed them to children. The wise walk by their own light, but the children are dependent. What a good and perfect Father of lights who gives every good gift and brought the lowest of Israel to behold the highest of kings. He is a generous God. And he does not hide his face from the seeking. For wise men from afar saw the celestial star that announced his birth, and they came, and at great cost they worshipped this toddler king. They followed the light to the light of the world. And should we fail to mention Simeon and Anna waiting for the consolation of Israel, the salvation of God, prepared in the presence of all people, a light, so he says, for revelation to the Gentile and for glory to your people Israel. This light was worth fasting for day, night, with prayer and thanksgiving. You know who else noticed? Herod noticed. Herod was put on notice. When foreign kings come from afar to worship a king born in your backyard, men take up arms. Kill the king before he kills you. The fathers and the mothers of Bethlehem noticed. For their male children, two and under, were pierced by spear. Rachel, even while buried in Ramah, noticed, as our beloved scripture reveals, her weeping for her children. It was not as if the birth of the king, the light of the world, was unnoticed. But what did he come to do? One would imagine the light would come, the Christ, the Messiah, and dethrone Rome. That would bring light and life to Israel. The Son of David would sit on his throne and reign over his enemies. But the darkness was not to preclude Rome or Asia or Egypt or Africa or China or Europe, nor the Americas. The light of the world would reign, but his ascent to Zion was through Golgotha. He came as light to do the work of light, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. The darkness exists in us. How is that darkness expelled? Look to the glory and light of the cross. For there God created light once again, but now in us. Just as the Spirit of God hovered over the dark water, so the Son of God hung in darkness over his captors. The gaze of God was fixed on the void. The face of the Son of God was set like flint towards Jerusalem. The voice of God spoke, "Let there be light." The Son of God declared, "It is finished." The light pierced the darkness and divided the day into night. So the words of Jesus pierced the veil and rent the dividing wall between man and God asunder. Mountains shook, earth quaked, and the Son of God, the King of the Jews, was pierced for our transgressions. Blood and water flowed down from his side to wash away our darkness. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. the light of the world stepped into our darkness to bring us light and life. He was crucified, dead, buried, and he rose on day three. And John proclaimed, that which was from the beginning, that which we have heard, that which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and we have touched with our hands concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testify to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us, fellowship in the light, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So what happens when you see? What happens when you believe? Hear this from the Scriptures. God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He is the light. He is life. He preceded sun, moon, and stars and gave life to the world. And thus, with John, these heavenly lights declare, "He who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me." They will bow to him, sun, moon, and star. One day we will see him. One day we will see him. One day they whom pierced will see him. And we will see him in his light as he is. In that day, Revelation 21 reveals first, the first earth had passed away. The sea was no more. The holy city of Jerusalem descends from heaven as a bride, and behold, the dwelling place of God is with man, and there is no need of sun or moon to shine, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. He is the light of the world. And so the question remains tonight, by whose light do you walk? Are you wise in your own eyes? Are you wise according to man? Are you wise according to your flesh? If you are, your eyes will not see him. But if you come as children, if you come dependent, if you come acknowledging your own darkness, then he is able to give you light. That is the only way you will have light and life. So what of this present darkness? It is the night sky against which Christ in his light shines more brilliantly. And it shines forth in contrast for those who have eyes to see. Do you see him? Do you see the light of the world? Because if you do, as my brother said this morning, there's one of two responses. You either run to him or you run from him. Will you follow him? Do you want life? I would encourage you, run to the light. Amen.